Good morning. Once again, I'd like to welcome everybody here this morning, and thank you for joining us this morning to worship God together. Let me check this out, because I'm terrible about remembering if we have any more birthdays. Leo's the 22nd. That's what it is. And then my wife and I will be celebrating an anniversary next Sunday, actually. So pray for Sarah as she continues to put up with me over the next few years. I will tell you this. I have a different introduction to the sermon I'm going to use, because something very profound happened to me over the last 24 hours. I actually heard the song Baby Shark. Now, if you don't know what Baby Shark is, because see, up until yesterday, I had never heard it before. If you get on YouTube, Baby Shark is this cute little song. It's really geared towards toddlers. There's nothing bad about it. So I heard it yesterday because the kids turned it on the Echo. We've got an Echo Dot. You can say, hey, Alexa, play it, and you play any song that you want to. So they said, play Baby Shark. Well, of course, Baby Shark, it's on YouTube, so they have kids that do these little motions with the songs and stuff, and one of them is they say, let's go hunt, and they put their hands up above their head like they're a shark, and Graham likes to do that too. So it's cute because Graham actually imitates what the sharks are actually, what the little kids are doing, imitating being like a shark, okay? So that's my new introduction to this lesson. My other introduction was going to be is that Alex and I, when we watch hockey on TV, he always likes to get his hockey net out. He likes to get his stick out, and he likes to sit there, and he likes to score goals. And Graham will imitate what Alex does. When they score a goal, he's like, yay, we scored, you know? So this idea of children wanting to imitate and be like somebody is not a foreign concept. Shouldn't be a foreign concept to us as well. That's why I had Jim lead the song, Oh, to Be Like Thee. Because in everything that we do, if we say that we're a follower of Christ, then we should be following after him, and we should be imitating him likewise. And some of the song, Oh, to Be Like Thee, it's not as if it, if we study hard enough and if we follow after Jesus enough, it's not as if we're physically going to look like him. That's obviously not what it means to be like him. It means that the inner characteristics and qualities of Jesus should become more prevalent and more evident in our lives. And just, you know, some characteristics of God, we should be loving people. We should be forgiving people. We should be compassionate. And that's the topic we're going to cover this morning, is that concept of being compassionate. We should be knowledgeable. And like I said, that's just to name a few characteristics. Now, a really good example of Jesus trying to show us something that is very difficult for us to do, and it was very difficult for the apostles and the disciples to understand, was when in John chapter 13, he actually bends down and he starts washing the disciples' feet. Okay? Because even after Jesus gets done doing that, he asks the question. He says, do you realize what I have done to you? He asked them. He says, I am your Lord and your teacher, and just as I have done to you, so you do to each other. And I think that's one really hard concept, because you have to understand that he did that in the context of them having their infighting about who was going to be the greatest. All right? And so that's just another example of how we should look like Jesus in the form of being a servant. We should love one another, because this is how the world's going to know that we are of Christ, right? Is if we have love for one another, and if we claim to love him and we claim him as our Savior and we are fully committed to him, we can't help but look like him. And those of us that have been married for any length of time, especially those of you that have been married for like 40 or 50 years, you know, you guys ever finish one another's sentences? You ever do that? All right. You ever just sit in silence and you don't have to say anything because you know exactly what the other person's already thinking anyway? All right. Well, I know that's kind of a little playful thing I'm using there, but that should be how our relationship with God is too. You know, we're supposed to be a reflection of his life and his way of living life. And if our goals in life are not to live out a life that is similar to Jesus, then we need to get a different set of goals. I'm just going to be blunt about it. Okay? Because every goal that we set and everything that we do, it should be to model and follow after Jesus. That's why when you look at Matthew 9:35-38, and I thank Leo for looking at, for reading that for us this morning, is I have a confession to make it to you about my life, is that being compassionate is something that I struggle with on a daily basis. I'm not afraid to tell you that. Because I struggle to see people the way that Jesus sees people. You look in our text and Jesus, it's almost like he's got this big, I mean, he does, he's got a big crowd of people out there. And, you know, Brianna was up on stage last night and competing in a pageant, you know, and she gets a unique perspective because she can look out there and she can just see out over the tops of the heads of all the crowds, you know. Well, it's the same way with Jesus. He can see all these people and he looks at them and he just feels compassion for them because they're lost. And they're out there and they have absolutely no direction because they're like sheep without a shepherd. And it helps for me to kind of keep my little, I guess you could say, thorn in the flesh. Like I was just saying, sometimes I struggle to be compassionate. It's to keep this scripture in mind. It helps me out, you know, because it helps me to realize that there are people out there that I have not been able to reach yet with either my example or my being able to ask them to sit down and study the Bible with me. And just the same way Jesus, there were so many people out there that he maybe not have been able to reach yet. So those are the things we need to keep in mind, lest we push somebody away before we even have an opportunity to try to reach them with the gospel. And it's easy to look out there in the world. It's easy to get frustrated and get angry, you know, with some of the things that are going on in our world. But what Jesus felt when he looked on that world once again, upon the world entirely, and still does today through us, is compassion. And that's part of what being like Jesus entails, is seeing people how Jesus sees them. You know, when Jesus looks at them, he sees them being led in all kinds of different directions. And now I'm going to use some modern day examples, right? Jesus could be out there looking at this crowd. I say this crowd, I'm referring to the world we live in today. Like I say, to try to apply it to give us some ideas. Jesus could be looking out there upon the people that that seek comfort in vices like drugs and alcohol. You know, he could look out there in the crowd and see people who have such broken relationships earlier in their life that now later on in their life it manifests itself in the form of more broken relationships with multiple men and women. He could look out there and see people that are looking for answers in false religions, or better, worse yet, in religions where people are following after something that is just not scripturally correct. And in their ignorance, though they mean well, they follow after people that aren't going to lead them to any real answers. And the one thing that Jesus never, ever did, except another case where I'm going to tell you, he never looked upon that crowd and ever uttered the phrase, "They should know better," because they didn't. The only people you will ever see where Jesus even implies that they should know better is when he's dealing with the Pharisees, because the Pharisees are a whole other class of people that really should have known better, but they were erecting barriers there using scripture and using religious tradition to shut people out from being a part of what they were a part of. So there's the warning for us. We need to be keenly aware of that, lest we erect barriers, either intentionally or unintentionally, then we're no different than what the Pharisees have done. Jesus looked at these people out there with compassion because, above all, they had absolutely no protection from Satan whatsoever. None. Not at this point. But Jesus is trying to point them to himself, so that they might have some form of deliverance from the pain and the suffering that they were enduring at this time, and ultimately, separation from God in eternity. But most of all, too, I want you to look at the latter half of those scriptures when Jesus looks out and he says, "Pray that the Lord would send laborers out into his field." But what Jesus sees there, he feels compassion, but he also sees opportunity as well. Because the question we come up with in today's world, because we get distracted by all the division in this world. You know, don't pretend like we don't at times get distracted by it. Because we start talking about government stuff. We start talking about politics. And what do we think? Do we jump right into the middle of that? Or do we see it as an opportunity to bring unity? Do we look at all of the shootings that tend to happen? And then the gun control debate eventually comes up. Do we jump into the middle of the gun control debate, or are we a shining example of someone who is trying to bring healing to the situation, seeing it as an opportunity to spread the light and to spread the gospel? Do we look at all of the division in the world, period? Do we get kind of suckered into it? Or do we stand out from the crowd? Because we kind of talked about stepping out of the crowd a couple of weeks ago. You remember that? Stepping out of the crowd is not getting involved in that. Because we do live in a dark world. I'm trying not to pretend like we don't. We always remember that the darker the darkness is, the brighter the light shines. So are we going to see our dark world as an opportunity to let Jesus shine through us? Or are we, like in the children's song, are we just going to hide our light under a bushel? No, we're not. We're going to let it shine. Very good. Thank you. Because God wants us once again to see the world as Jesus sees it. And when the world looked upon, I'm going to use some biblical examples here. When the world looked upon leprosy, the world would see somebody who, oh, I don't want nothing to do with him, you know. Scared to death, we're going to get leprosy. But what does Jesus see? He sees isolation. Why isolation? Because those people were cut off from everything when they had leprosy. A lot of times they weren't even allowed in a city, for crying out loud. They put them out. They ostracized them from the community. So therefore, then they had absolutely no family relationships whatsoever. They lived a life of solitude, depression, loneliness, and those were the things that Jesus saw when he looked upon a person with leprosy. He looked upon somebody, it wasn't just healing somebody from a disease they had, it was a restoration of their entire life. All of those things we talk about, like their spiritual well-being, their physical well-being, their emotional well-being, all of those things have now been restored just because Jesus refused to look at him as a guy that had leprosy, but as a human being who had a problem that needed to be taken care of that only Jesus had the solution to. Same way with people that were blind. Blind people were often ostracized in the community, or they were looked upon, obviously, poorly because they couldn't do anything for themselves. So then I have to ask us the question, maybe if we looked at our community members a little differently, maybe the situation would be different. We could be the person that points them to Jesus and brings the healing that they need in their life. We could heal them from those addictions that they suffer from. We could heal them from all of those disappointing, broken past relationships that they've had. Because only in Jesus are all of the answers found. That's it. And if we don't believe that, we are not going to be effective in reaching people with the gospel. Jesus asks us to look out into our world with the same love and the compassion that he had. And there are so many people out there with broken hearts. So many people. And God can heal their hearts. And finally, a couple other things. We are to be vessels for God's love and a light to those that are in darkness. Hope to those who are feeling helpless and lost in this world. And if you notice in verse 38, he asked the disciples to pray that he would send laborers out into the field. Do you realize that we are a direct result of the prayers of the apostles? Because I have absolute faith that that's what they prayed for. But remember that you are an answer to a prayer of something that's talked about 2,000 years ago. That we are supposed to be the laborers that are sent out into the field and to reach out to those that are lost and those that are hurting. If God can change the world through one person, Jesus Christ, and we have the gift of His Holy Spirit within us, imagine what He can do with 30 of us now. Okay? That's a lot. Imagine what He can do if every one of us brought just one person in here and we doubled in size to 60 and so on and so forth. But through one man, the whole world was saved, and through 30 of us, we can save others. We have to be laborers in the kingdom, and we do have to sacrifice things in our life. We have to sacrifice our time and our effort to go out and to try to reach those and have conversations with people about the gospel and about the Bible. And to close with, I want to turn your attention now and turn your minds to the story of the prodigal son. Quickly, the story of the prodigal son. If you don't know it, I'll recap it for you. There's a son that asks for his inheritance and he leaves home and he goes out and blows the inheritance and he essentially comes back. He doesn't want to come back, you know. He feels shame and then finally he turns around and says, I got to go back. I don't have a choice, you know, because even my father's servants eat better than what I'm eating right now. But always remember the focus there to me when I read that story is always on the father. The father is the point of that story. The father is a kind father that had so much love for his son, that he cared so much for his son, that even when he saw him on the horizon, that indicates to me that he was looking every single day for his appearance to come across that horizon to come back, because he wanted them back that badly. And he ran out to meet him when he saw them on the horizon. And that's the kind of God that you and I belong to. And we should be proud of that. We should be grateful for that. And just to throw Thanksgiving in there, we should be grateful for that blessing that we serve a God that loves us, that even while we're at times we're out there, we're kind of stumbling around and maybe we're not doing such a great job in life and managing things, you know, that he's always on the horizon looking out for us. And when we turn back, we say, you know, I want to try to do better. That he's always there saying, yep, come on back. And that's awesome. And the thing is that people out in the world get such a distorted view of God, and the idea that, like, there's God up there and he's just kind of waiting for us to slip up and then he's going to send us to hell. You know, I know that's an extreme made up scenario, but trust me, there's people out there that think that the only reason in their mind why God exists is so that he can just punish people. How else are we going to change their mind if we don't reach him? That's the question. You know, or people out there that just have this view of God like he's anything that you want him to be, you know, because even to me, the best thing that man can think up that God is does not compare to what he actually is as portrayed in Scripture. Okay, a loving God, a caring God, a righteous God, a faithful God, a compassionate God, all those characteristics that are in Jesus. What are we talking about this morning? This should be coming out of us, too, if we want to claim, if we claim to be his disciple, if we claim to be his follower. Should be coming out of us. You notice all my sermons really revolve around one thing. I talk about it like a broken record. It's like, how can we be more like Jesus? That's it. It's a point. That's the goal we're trying to get to, is to be more like Jesus every day. When we slip up and we mess up, that's where Jesus' blood comes in. But we keep pressing on towards that goal of trying to make it to heaven and try to be more like Jesus every single day. Because the fact is the picture of that prodigal son, that father in the story of the prodigal son, that's where he is right now in heaven awaiting our arrival. At the end of all of this, we serve a risen Savior. We serve a Savior who loves us so much. And when we ask the question of why should we be more like Jesus, or why should we love people so much, the answer is, Jesus would say, is because I did it. I love them that much that I gave my life for them. You love them that much, you sacrifice your time. You make all the sacrifices that are necessary to reach as many people as you can with the gospel. Because that's our goal in this life, is to serve Jesus, to give him all glory and honor and praise. And if you have any need this morning that you need to make known to us, you can come forward and make that need known. If you need the prayers of the congregation for strength, for continuation on your walk with Jesus and in your walk with God, we'd be more than happy to pray for you. And if you have any need, you can make it known as together we stand and sing the invitation song.
Thanks, Kurt, for another great lesson. Number 425 will be our closing song, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Living below in this so simple world, hardly a comfort can afford. Riding alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Father, we thank you so much for giving us the health that we have today to get out and to come together and to listen to your word and to sing praises unto your name and to go to you in prayer. We just thank you, Father, for every blessing which we have ever received from you. We know sometimes, Father, that we may take them for granted, but we know, Father, that it is because of you that we have what we have in our lives and that we have the opportunities that we have. We just pray, Father, that as we go about our lives, that we would take and remember that, and remember that you give us the opportunities, if we just look for them, that we can take and be the light that somebody needs in their lives to know that you are their Father and that you want what's best for them and not the life that they're living at the time. We pray, Father, that you would be with those who are unable to be with us here this morning, those who maybe traveling or sick or working or whatever the reason, Father, we just pray that they're thinking of you at this time as well and that they're wishing they could be here. We pray, Father, that you would continue to be with each and every one of us. Help us to take and see what we need to do to be better at spreading your word, both individually and as a congregation as well. We pray, Father, that you would continue to help us to continue to grow in your sight so that we can become stronger Christians that are more suited to do your work. We ask you, Father, to continue to be with each and every one who is on our prayer list, that as we have lifted them up in the past, we just pray, Father, that they are asking you for your help as well and for your healing hand to be upon them. We thank you, Father, for all those who have been on our prayer list in the past that you have healed, because we know that it is because of you that they do have the state of life that they have at this time. We ask you now, Father, to be with us as we get ready to depart. We pray, Father, that you bring us back the next appointed time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.